head. Hawser recognized the beasts performing it. It would become a combat act later on. Some people walked by Hawser. Tall humanoids in fabulous clothes, glittering like a gaudy night city seen from the air. They chattered in almost inaudibly high voices, and from a network of fine golden-coloured tubes branching all around their bright red and dark purple faces, tiny puffs of incandescent gas pulsed out, wreathing their semi-scaled necks and naked shoulders and trailing and dimming behind them in a fiery orange glow. Hawser watched them pass. Their cloaks, flowing out behind as though hardly heavier than the air through which they moved, flickered with the image of an alien face, each cloak showing part of one huge moving image, as though a projector overhead was focused on the capes of the moving group. The orange gas touched Hawser's nostrils, and his head swam for a second. He let his immune glands deal with the narcotic, and continued to look around the arena. The eye of the storm, the still, quiet spot, was so small it could easily have been missed in even a slow and attentive scan of the auditorium. It was not in the centre, but set at one end of the ellipsoid of level ground forming the lowest visible level of the arena. There, under a canopy of still dark lighting units, a round table stood, just about large enough to accommodate at its rim the 16 large, differently styled chairs which each faced a wedge of colour fixed to the top of the table. A console, set into the table itself, faced each chair, on which straps and other restraining devices lay opened. Behind each of the seats lay an area of clear space on which small seats, 12 in all, were placed. A small fence separated them from the larger seats in front, and another fence cordoned off the set of 12 seats from a larger area behind, where people, most of them motis, were already quietly waiting. The game seemed to have been delayed. Hawser sat down on what was either an over-designed seat or a rather unimaginative piece of sculpture. He was almost on the highest level of the terraces of the arena, with a good view over most of the rest. There was nobody nearby. He reached deep inside his heavy blouse and peeled off some artificial skin from his abdomen. He rolled the skin into a ball and threw it into a large pot that held a small tree, just behind where he sat. Then he checked the Aoish credit tenths, the negotiable memory card, the pocket terminal and the light CRE pistol which had been hidden by the paunch of fake skin. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw a small, darkly dressed man approach. The man looked at Hawser with his head tilted, from about 5 meters off, then came closer.
"Hey, you want to be alive?"
"No, goodbye," Hawser said. The small man sniffed and walked off, stopping further along the walkway to prod a shape lying near the edge of a narrow terrace. Hawser looked over and saw a woman there raise her head groggily, then shake it slowly, moving sinuous lengths of bedraggled white hair. Her face showed briefly in the light of an overhead spot. She was beautiful, but looked very tired. The small man spoke to her again, but she shook her head and made a motion with one hand. The small man walked off. The flight in the X-Culture shuttle had been relatively uneventful. After some confusion, Hawser had succeeded in patching through to the orbital's navigation system, discovered where he was in relation to the Almadreka's last known position, and set off to find whatever was left of the megaship. He'd accessed a news service while gorging himself on culture emergency rations, and found a report on the Almadreka in the index. The pictures showed the ship, listing a little and fractionally bow down, floating in a calm sea surrounded by ice, the first kilometre of its hull seemingly buried inside the huge tabula berg. Small aircraft and a few shuttles hovered and flew about the gigantic wreck, like flies above the carcass of a dinosaur. The commentary accompanying the visuals spoke of a mysterious second nuclear explosion aboard the craft. It also reported that when police craft had arrived, the megaship had proved to be deserted. Hearing that, Hawser had immediately altered the shuttle's destination, swinging the craft round to head for Ivanov. Hawser had had 3/10 of an Aoish credit. He'd sold the shuttle for 5/10. It was absurdly cheap, especially given the imminent destruction of the orbital, but he had been in a hurry, and the dealer who accepted the craft was certainly taking a risk handling the machine. It was very obviously a culture design. The brain had equally obviously been shot out of it, so there could be little doubt it had been stolen. The culture would treat the destruction of the craft's consciousness as murder. In 3 hours, Hawser had sold the shuttle, bought clothes, cards, a gun, a couple of terminals, and some information. All except the information had been cheap. Hawser now knew that there was a craft answering the description of the clear air turbulence on the orbital, or rather underneath it, inside the ex-Culture General Systems vehicle called the Ends of Invention. He found that hard to believe, but there was no other craft it could be. According to the information agency, a ship fitting the Cat's description had been brought on board by one of the Evenauth Port shipbuilders to have repairs made to its warping units. It had arrived under tow 2 days previously, with only its fusion motors working. He could not, however, find out its name or exact location.